Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Okay, we have much to cover this morning, so let's begin with a word of prayer and just to orient ourselves as to where we are and why we're here and to worship Him and fulfill the function of the assembly. We're having a wonderful study in 1 Corinthians 1. This is a commercial, and we're studying what makes up a good assembly and the problems in the assembly and how they're to be taken care of. So it's an important study. Just in case you're interested. All right, let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for this assembly. We are thankful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege we have of coming together to worship You in spirit and in truth of who and what You are. Pray now that all that we do will be glorifying to You, glorifying to Your Son, Father. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, let's begin this morning with 165, Amazing Grace, 165. All right, let's stand and sing Amazing Grace. Okay, very important, and just calm right now, I'm going to talk about Thomas. He had a very rough night, fever, and they're not really sure why, so they've got to keep moment by moment watch on that. His nausea, increase through the night. On the good side, the white blood cells, which are the cells that fight infection, is increasing. So that's good. Now, this morning, I talked to Terry, I guess it was around 8 o'clock, but since then, she's talked to Tish coming here, and they have found fluid on inside of Thomas. They do not know if it's on his heart or his lungs. They do not know how they're going to be able to empty it of this fluid. So this is dangerous. So we need to be in prayer about that and just be in prayer for his comfort. So we had a lot of things to need to pray in regard to Thomas, regard to his comfort, but more importantly right now, getting rid of this fluid, bringing the temperature, the fever down, and continue the good things of the white blood cells and things going on the good part of his body. So what we're going to do, we're going to take our time, spend a few moments in prayer. If you're so led to pray aloud, please feel free to join in this prayer time. I remember the story in the war between the states when the Confederate would form a circle and they would pray, and they would pray aloud. And whenever you felt you had to leave to go get on your stout or go get under the line of battle and all, you would just leave. Someone would come, and this would just be a continual type of prayer meeting. Well, they were praying one time, and they heard a voice. And every one of them recognized a voice, and every one of them had to look up. And it was Robert E. Lee who had came in and prayed with them. So it's this prayer thing is so powerful. Remember that Jesus Christ did more teaching on prayer than anyone. He introduced a revolutionary change in prayer. One, pray to the Father. That had never been done in the Old Testament. Pray to the Father. Secondly, pray in His name. That had never been done before. And then prayers are answered in His name. That had never been before. So Christ taught us a great deal of new things about prayer. So let's just spend some time together in prayer and praying for Thomas. He needs our prayers now. I told Terry, I wish there was more that I could do, wish there was more we could do, but I know of no better hands to leave it than in the hands of our God. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do pray to You as a group of believers, appealing to You as the great physician. We have no choice. There's nothing we can do but put Him into Your hands. We pray, Father, that You will give wisdom to the doctors to figure out where the fluid is, how to drain it out of him. We pray that it is not building up in his heart or his lungs. We pray, Heavenly Father, that if it can be befitting to what's going on in his body, that his fever decrease, the nausea decrease. But Father, we pray that the good things are happening in his body, the making of the white cells and just the good things going on will continue to go on, Father, and just pray for his comfort. But just pray that these things start happening and continue to happen in this young man's body. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory, for His benefit. Amen. Okay. General Assembly. People, if we're going to have a church, when I started this church in 1974, graduated from Dallas Seminary. And when I was being interviewed, candidating, I made a very important point. If you want a local assembly, it's going to require effort. See, a lot of the people at that time were just tapers, and they'd stay at home, listen to tape, in the car, whatever. But when you decide you want an assembly people, you've got to do things. Now, one of those things is we need a cleanup crew, and we have a sheet back here for July, and then some other months of the year. So this just has to be done. And I guess you could just give thanks. We don't have that much room. I mean, you know, the cleaning isn't like cleaning a house. There's just, you know, just so many rooms here. And just so many things that you do. And it doesn't take all that long. And I know that by first-hand experience. My wife signed me up. And I had to do all of this. So, but I'm just saying, people, we need to work together. It's a simple thing. But if we're going to have an assembly, it needs to be done. We have various things back there. We enjoy donuts. Well, somebody's got to pick them up on Sunday morning. And I'm not afraid to say, if it's a matter of money, let me know. The church will give you the money. But somebody needs to take the time, go pick them up, and get them here. And so these are just some things we have on our list back there and that need to be taken care of. So I put that before you. If we want an assembly, we got to get these things done. Yes. Whatever, just as long as we get it kind of clean. I won't notice. But there are people who will notice that whether or not it's clean and everything. I mean, it's been pointed out to me. You didn't see that there for a whole week? You just walked by it? No, I never saw it. So I'm not sure that it'll, you know, I imagine paper thrown on the floor. I'd notice that. Even Jim Passmore, I'd notice that. But so these things need to be done. Please, just think about the General Assembly in that respect. Okay, next. Very important. With the change of schedule, moving the Tuesday night to Sunday morning, I tried to work this out, and it just didn't work. And I need more than 30 minutes of time to teach the Word of God on Sunday morning. And the way we're doing it, that's about it. And I know Baptist preachers that preach longer than that. So I need a little bit longer than that to teach the Word of God. So starting next Sunday, the first Sunday of July, the schedule will be 9:15 to 10:15, the first class. That's just 15 minutes early. Just 15 minutes. Now, I know that may bother some of you, but just move it back and already have 15 minutes and start at 9:15 to 10:15. And then this service will start at 10:30. And that will give us some time to study the Word of God and have some music. We only have for one song, one hymn, and just things. And we need a little more time to worship together. I hate being ruled by the clock, but I know that's a society we live in. But so service will be next Sunday, 9:15, 10:15, 1 Corinthians, which I encourage you think about it because and pray about it. We're learning, we're studying the assembly, what an assembly needs, what it doesn't need, and how to correct things that are going on in assembly that shouldn't be going on. And then we will start this service at 10:30 starting next week. Okay, next. Starting, that would be the 10th of July. We're going to start a class here, and it's a Bible, well, it's a basic training center for pastors and church workers, people that want to learn how to study the Bible, teach the Bible, work through the Bible, we're going to start that the 10th of July, and you'll need book one, and I've ordered 10 of them, so we've got some books in, and it will be for 2 hours. Every Sunday, will be exceptions where we'll take off for holidays and things, but basically 2 hours every Sunday. It will be approximately a year and a half to 2 year course, but you're going to study an unbelievable number of things in that time frame. Bible study methods, Old Testament survey, New Testament survey, Bible Doctrine Survey, Personal Spiritual Life or the Filling of the Holy Spirit, Teaching Principles and Methods, Church History, Missions. So if you're at all interested, please think about it and pray about it. This is an excellent course. As I told you, the man who designed the course, the graduate of Dallas Seminary, he went to the mission field and he realized that the mission field needed to train pastors, but not just slop in a sloppy method. He shortened a lot of the things that we did at Dallas Seminary in the four-year program. And so it's an excellent course or study in that regard. Grades will not be given. I do not believe in grades, but there will be assignments. There are two brochures out on the table out there that you can read about what we'll be doing in that time frame. Any discussion or any questions or comments on the change of schedule or on this course? Yes. Yes. 9:15 to 10:15. 10. Oh, excuse me. 2 hours every Sunday. 1 o'clock. 1 to 3. No. Vacuum cleaner will not be going on. People can run and get a bite to eat and then come back and change clothes if they want. I will. And by the way, Larry, I'm going to meet with Tony Wednesday about getting these four rooms, and I want to talk with you about the teaching of our youth and all of the teachers of the older kids. I want to talk to you about what maybe we want to see being taught our young people. And so, because I just like what's happening with our youth camp that's coming up. Any word, Chris? Now, they're not volunteering to clean with them, just to offer the cleaning material. Oh, okay. Now, when will that be?
That will be on the 24th of July.
Okay.
And then also on the 28th, when they come pick them up, we're going to have
the same. Okay.
And around between 12 and 1 o'clock, they start the
prep. Okay.
If somebody would like to lead up the prayer team for our camp, I would really love to have a group of prayer warriors praying for the camp and the campers each day and the staff to do a lot of prayer.
People, it's a lot of fun to watch them get off the buses, watch them come in, and just bye to each other and the parents, and it is just—it's a wonderful thing. How many young people?
We have 92 total campers coming.
Wow, that is so super.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. And people, just be in prayer for our young people, just a camp, things going on here. We're going to hopefully be getting these four rooms over here. I want two of them, just to the kids, and they can kind of decorate and do whatever they want, and we're going to teach there. And just, God is doing things, so let's just be in prayer for our young people. Any questions? Now, did everyone understand what he was saying about the 28th? 28th, about the refreshments? So if you're interested in just helping getting it set up, some punch and some cookies, and the parents come in waiting for their children, or, you know, this type of thing, and everybody gets to talk. I had a wonderful time. I'm glad I took the time, because I didn't even think about it. Just the last minute, I'll come up here, met a lot of the parents, And that was just really wonderful. So please bear all of this in mind. Some good things are happening in this assembly in regard to our young people. So please bear that in mind. Okay? Any other question or comment about that? All right. Wednesday night, last Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, I just want to remind you, I think it's a crucial study on not just for Wednesday night studying the Gospel of John 16:33, but the whole Bible. We're looking at the imperative mood, and because of misunderstanding, people, this is why legalism arises, this is why false teaching arises, and a false gospel. And this week I'm going to take you through, show you part of John MacArthur's failure in understanding the Bible to come up with a false gospel that has gone into seminaries and churches and split people, caused a great deal of problems, because he didn't understand some simple things about the Bible. So Wednesday night, I think, is very important. Also, next Sunday morning, the first Sunday of our new schedule, is communion. So please be ready for communion and our fellowship afterward. What's the theme? It's whatever you got left over Saturday night, bring it Sunday. Just bring it Sunday. We'll eat it. Jim Passmore and I are not particular. You got it left over, we'll eat it. So let's just have some good fellowship next Sunday where we have our communion together. Yes, ma'am. Okay. People, this is why I encourage you to be in prayer for Rick and Terry. I think everyone knows to be in prayer for Thomas. But this is going on now, going for the fourth month. Seeing their 14-year-old son, soon to be 15, lying there. And it goes on and on and on. We go on with our lives, even something like supplying them food. There was a lot of food supplied at the beginning. But we've got every one of us have our lives to live. People, every day, they're in that tribulation. Every day, they look down and see this young man that they love. Don't even know what's going to happen that day. So please be in prayer for Rick and Terry. Certainly, we want to help them with the food, encouragement, prayer. A funny card every now and then is wonderful. But most of all, be in prayer. They're in the battle, and when this is all through, they're going to have some wonderful rejoicing to do. But right now, they're in the tribulation. Okay, so any other prayer requests that I've omitted by, and don't worry about the level. Everyone has their own battle of what they're in prayer for. Oh, that's right. Yeah, y'all are going to leave us. Yeah. The mission field out on the beaches, yeah, it's really good. All right. Going to be some witnessing, but I don't know if it's up for the Lord, but all right. So we certainly will be in prayer for a safe trip and safe return. Absolutely. Yes, sir. Okay. God, I hate that. Okay, let's be in prayer for Cameron's friend and family. And be in prayer for the man. If he's a believer, what I like to do, and this is a dangerous prayer. Father, put your Holy Spirit on him and convict him. Do whatever it takes to bring him face to face with what's going on. Doesn't mean that they would change. That he will change or someone will change. But whatever it takes, you got to be careful. You pray that kind of prayer and then death occurs. Oh, God, how could you do it? You pray for it. That's what it would take. So, let's be in prayer for this young man, family, and also for this father. The Holy Spirit will just convict him unbelievably. If he's not a believer, that will bring him to salvation knowledge of Jesus Christ. Okay? Any other prayer requests? Okay? The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purposes in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth the gracious giver. Now, we've putting up the somewhat of a balance sheet for each of the passing month. Now, June is not, obviously, not up there. And so I guess this would be May's. And the offertory took care of the expenses. And that's our main objective. But each month, this will be up there. You'll be able to see how much was taken in, how much went out, and this is the various rundown of it. And I'm just appreciative that this is not a problem. I don't like talking about money, as you know. Probably why I don't have a building. I'm just not into this. And we do have responsibilities in our lease agreements and things, so just bear that in mind. Let's prepare ourselves for the worship of God through the offertory by prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for this assembly. We're so thankful that you seem fit to use this assembly in so many different ways, and now with an increase in our youth outreach. I pray you'll guide us in the teaching and the teachers and getting teachers and teaching, fellowshipping with our young people, missionaries, the outreach of the gospel and the teaching, Father. And then, Heavenly Father, the internet, tapes and disc, publication. There's so many things that you're seeing fit to do. And Father, right here, our own assembly and encouragement of each other right here in this assembly. To be a part of the body of Christ with one another. And Father, therefore, we pray now that you receive the offerings that we're about to give. That you will continue to use this assembly for the spreading of the gospel to both unbelievers and believers. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. Be in prayer for Dan and Pat. They'll be going back to Africa later on this month. And so just be in prayer for their safe travel and then getting back and getting into the teaching ministry and service that they are doing in Liberia. So please be in prayer for Dan and Pat. I'll try to keep you updated on things going on with that ministry, the Risleys, and just what's going on in our various outreaches. Okay, let's open the Bibles to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Let's spend a moment in prayer. Purpose of the prayer is to test yourself to see if you're trusting His Spirit, who is the teacher of the truth. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this book. But now, Father, we pray for the illuminating ministry of the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to the things you'd have us to see. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory and benefit. Amen. All right, Romans chapter 5, verse 3. And not only this, not only do we exalt in the hope and the glory of God, but we also exalt in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Now, one of the questions I'm going to be dealing with you, sort of like a kind of hidden thing up there. Why do we want to develop perseverance? We exalt in tribulation, knowing tribulation brings about perseverance. Why do I want perseverance? So, it's just going to be one of those kind of hidden things. To use a non-believing secular thing, who is John Galt? I remember back in the 60s when Ayn Rand wrote Atlas Shrugged. There was bumper stickers, who is John Galt? Well, why do we want to develop perseverance? Kind of a backward little thing that I want to have on this whole deal. Yes, sir. Yeah, well, it is. I'll get into it. I'm going to answer the question. Okay. Now, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. People, there is so much in that one line, it is unbelievable. It is unbelievable. Now, it begins with the secret of living the Christian way of life or the Spirit-filled life or having your tribulations work to perseverance. And that's the word knowing. There's the secret. There's where it all begins. This is the key to exalting in tribulation. Knowing biblical truth, knowing Bible doctrine. It's the perfect active infinitive of eido, which simply means to know something. And we know this or through or by the constant study of the Word of God. That's the only way. This knowledge is not by osmosis. It is, and in fact, it is not only not by osmosis, it is contrary to our human nature. I mean, boy, if it was just true that when I was in school, I could take the math book, the history book, the science book, put it under my pillow, and it would go from the pillow to my brain, that would have made school a snap. But not the case. And especially with biblical knowledge. Biblical truth. It's contrary to our nature. But the key is knowing. So it's knowing by the study of the Word of God. Now what's important here is the perfect tense. This is where it's rich. The perfect tense emphasizes the present result of a past action. First of all, you have to have the past action. That's the learning the biblical truth. That's the learning of Bible doctrine. The perfect tense emphasizes the present result of the past action of knowing biblical truth. And this is by constantly studying the Bible. So first, we learn of the doctrine of tribulation that we've spent now a couple of weeks on. And I want to get this kind of printed up, not into a publication, but into a nice little pamphlet. But I've got to add a whole other point that I've left out of this one. So, I want to get that done. But we took the time to study the doctrine of the tribulation. The faithfulness of God. See? Then, tribulation comes. See? We experience the tribulation. And while in the tribulation, we recall biblical truth. Bible doctrine. Jesus Christ, the greatest teacher on the Holy Spirit of all through the Bible, in chapters, especially chapters 13 through 16, the unbelievable teaching on the Holy Spirit, one of the things he taught us about the ministry of the Holy Spirit is to cause us to remember. So while you learn the truth, the doctrine, you get in the tribulation, you're in the Holy Spirit, he calls or recalls the truth of what this is all about, and what is the result? Exalting. See, the exalting is mentioned first. We exalt in tribulation. But things have to happen before you exalt. One, you have to know the doctrine. Secondly, you have to go through the tribulation. Then you get to exalting in the tribulation. So let's take a look at what's going on in our study. First, we learn the truth of Scripture by the Holy Spirit. You find, I don't care if it's here or wherever, you find a pastor or teacher gifted by God, studies the Word of God, and teaches the Word of God in truth. We learn the teaching on tribulation. Then we experience tribulation. The Holy Spirit causes us to remember all about tribulation and the faithfulness of God. Then, in the power of the Holy Spirit, we exalt in tribulation. See? This is how all of this works. Okay. Now, what do we know? Look at your text. Romans 5:3. Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. All right, first of all, we have the same word for tribulation, meaning pressure, crush, squeeze, affliction, persecution, that which tries to squeeze or crush your faith. Then we have the present middle indicative of kata ergazomai, to work out, to bring about, to accomplish, to achieve, to produce. Now, I'm just going to share with you. Almost everyone, and I've got some really nice students of the Bible. I like to read what they've done with the language, not so much their theology, but what they've done with the language. Almost everyone concentrates on tribulation and perseverance. Just kind of footnoting right over this word, all that's involved in this word brings about. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about that. Before we talk about perseverance, talk about brings about. The King James says worketh. The NIV says produces. Brings about, worketh, which is really a straight translation of kata ergazomai, and the NIV produces. But people, tribulation can bring about many other things in life. Can bring about many other states in life. To many people, tribulation brings about anger. Tribulation brings about disappointment. Tribulation brings about discouragement with God, with life, with people. I want to spend a moment on that word brings about. So I want it in your head. What's going on in the context here? Tribulation does not always bring about perseverance. Tribulation can produce anger, hatred, discouragement of God and of life. It can produce stress, anxiety, and depression in life. I don't think there's been a day past since I first heard of Thomas that I haven't prayed for Rick and Terry. It's easy to pray for Thomas. He's the one lying there. But the ones who are going through the tribulation are his mother and father. Seeing these things happen. And people, it hasn't just come and gone. It's gone on and on and on and on. And it's going to continue going on. While you and I slept last night, things were horrible happening in this young boy's body. Fever increased, fluid gained. While you and I are, and I'm not saying anything's wrong with it, while you and I are enjoying the summer, swimming, traveling, just enjoying the aspects of the summer, think about what Rick and Terry are doing with their summer. That's not how they planned on spending the summer when their son would turn from 14 to 15. It's not how they planned on it. But it's gone on and on and on. And it goes on with a lot of people, various types of tribulation. But tribulation can produce anger, hatred, discouragement of God and of life. What you think will determine what tribulation will produce in you. That's why we have that all very important thing of knowing. What you think will determine what tribulation is going to do to you. Now let's take Job. Job is one of our favorite studies here. Job became discouraged with God. Job cursed the day he was born. Job 1, I think we could call this tribulation. First, he lost a large portion of his livestock and workers. That's enough. But then came the report that all of his sheep were burned from fire above. Then raiders came in and took his camels and killed his workers. And finally, his sons and daughters were all killed in a violent storm. I think we can all say that was a day of tribulation for Job. Anybody say that wasn't? See, that's tribulation. Job was a very, very wealthy man, and he lost virtually everything in one day. God left him a nagging wife, but took everything else from him. And I say that because she was the one who told him, curse God and die. Isn't that wonderful? How encouraging you are, honey. Curse God and die. Okay. So I think this is tribulation. Then if that isn't enough, and this is where a lot of us gets our attention. These economic things, pain of losing someone we love, but then Satan attacked Job's body with boils and maggots started growing and eating on his body. Sometimes illness, cancer, sickness, physical things get our attention more than anything else. What did all this tribulation produce or work in Job? Let's look at Job chapter 3. Let's take a look what all of this produced. See, people, I think this is a very important word, produced. Tribulation worketh or produced. I think it's very important. So let's look at Job chapter 3. And let's read verses 20 and 21. Why is light given to him who suffers? And life to the bitter of soul? In other words, why not just die? Why don't I just die? Why am I kept alive? Verse 21. Who long for death, but it doesn't come, and dig for it more than for hidden treasures. I don't know if you've ever reached a point where you wanted to die. Maybe even thought about suicide because of tribulation. If this is all there is to life, I don't want it. I don't want this tribulation. So what I want you to see is tribulation doesn't always work to perseverance. Look at verse 22 of chapter 3. Who rejoice greatly, they exult when they find the grave. What did he exult in? See, we're to exult in our tribulation. What did he exult in? Dying. Boy, if I could just die, that'd end all my problems. That would put an end to this tribulation, put an end to this situation, and I'm out of here. My wife had the right idea. Die! See? Look at Job 7. Job 7. See, I know everybody knows, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away, blessed be the name of the Lord. Yeah, well, then Satan started attacking his body. And tribulation started mounting. Okay, chapter 7, verse 11. Chapter 7, verse 11. Therefore, I will not restrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. What did tribulation produce in Job? Bitterness of soul. Hatred of his life. Desire to be dead. Look at chapter 10, verse 1. Chapter 10, verse 1. I loathe my life. People, I hope you've never felt like this. I hope you've never felt this way. But this is what tribulation can produce. See, I used to say David was the first country and western writer. I think it was Job. I think Job was the first country and western songwriter. I loathe my own life. I will give full vent to my complaint. I will speak in the bitterness of my soul. Oh, people, please be careful when you're going through tribulation. And remember, a very important point of our study of tribulation, Christ said, you will have tribulation. You're not going to get out of it. You're not going to get away from it. Now, you may have peace in it, 1633, you may not, but you will have tribulation. We want our tribulation to work to something beneficial like perseverance. So this becomes so important. Now, tribulation, as if all of this wasn't enough, it came, and what we studied this in our study of tribulation, it came from his three so-called friends. Look at chapter 19. Chapter 19. Tribulation, loss of everything, tribulation, health, loss of health. Now, chapter 19, then Job responded. He's talking to his three so-called friends. How long will you torment me? And actually what it says in the Hebrew, how long will you torment my soul and crush my soul with words, judgments? These 10 times you have insulted me. You are not ashamed to wrong me. Even if I have truly erred, sinned, my sin lodges with me. Why do you judge it? If indeed you exalt yourselves against me, you self-righteous, and prove my disgrace to me, know then that God has wronged me and has closed his net around me. Note where he's going with his tribulation. God, you're wrong. He's attacked God. God, you are wrong. Look at chapter 21, verse 25. While another dies with a bitter soul, never even tasting anything good. That's someone whose whole life has just been tribulation and torment. See, Job became bitter toward God, self-righteous, vindicating himself, and even attacked God. Now, we all know in the final analysis, Job will come to see the truth after Jesus Christ comes as a friend and speaks to him. But what do we learn about tribulation from Job? One, we learn about its source. Its source is Satan, God's friends, God, Satan, God, friends, and self-induced. People, the source doesn't matter. That was my main introduction to the whole study of tribulation. The source does not matter. It's not the issue. The issue is how you handle it. I don't care if it's sin. It's how you handle it. Self-induced misery, a self-induced gunshot, gunshot from a friend, gunshot from an enemy. Doesn't matter. The doctor's going to take care of it the same way. The source doesn't matter. It's what you do and what you think during this tribulation. Let's take throughout the history of Israel. I started to spend a whole time just going through the history of Israel. They reacted to tribulation by complaining to God, against God. Bitterness toward God. Self-righteousness about themselves. Filled with hatred, anger, and idolatry. That's how they handle tribulation. Turn to idols. Just like a lot of Christians. Turn to other solutions. Turn to man. Turn to money. Samson. I love the study of Samson. He endured a great deal of tribulation at the hands of the Philistines. Now, when everything was going good for Samson, he was over in Sin Valley. Tribulation starts coming in, and it got worse and worse and worse. It turned him to God. It turned him to God. And therefore, he came back to God and praised God, and it was an imitation of Jesus Christ in his death. So tribulation can bring about fear, hatred, discouragement, sad in life. Cause one to forsake God, become angry with God, attack God. So people, tribulation alone will not bring about perseverance. Tribulation alone will not bring about perseverance. You see, it is not the tribulation in your life, but what you do with it. It's how you handle it that will determine what it will work to become in your life, in your soul. Produce anger, hatred, discouragement, SAD. People, even these are not automatic. These are choice. These are choices you make. See? Perseverance, we're going to see, as a choice. So is anger, hatred of God. Angry at God, discouragement, disillusionment, hatred of people. It's a choice. Thought precedes anger. Thought precedes stress, anxiety, depression. Thought precedes turning against God. Thought precedes perseverance. I'm going to say all of these things come together. I think this word is very important. Tribulation worketh, produces perseverance. So what you think while in a tribulation, what you do while in a tribulation, how tribulation will affect you is determined by what your thought process is in the midst of that tribulation. And please remember, everyone's going to have tribulation. It's not just you. Everyone goes through tribulation in their life. Tribulation can ruin you. Tribulation can make you. So we have a very important word. Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Verse 4. We exalt in our tribulations, knowing. There's the secret. Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. As we're going to see, it is more than just tribulation that will bring about perseverance. Just tribulation can bring about a lot of negative aspects in your life, as we've just gone through. So, there is more than just a tribulation to produce perseverance in your life. And before we get to perseverance, I want this to be well documented in your soul. Okay. Perseverance is from God, the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 15, 5, and I put it on the board for you. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus. Now there's so much here. The assembly, be of the same mind. Encouragement that we're studying in John 16:33, where the final imperative Jesus Christ gives to the disciples and us, take courage. Well, courage is from God. We're going to put all that together with that imperative. So perseverance is from God the Holy Spirit. Perseverance is dependent on is dependent upon Bible doctrine in your soul, dependent upon biblical truth inside of you. Luke chapter 8, verse 15. And the seed in the good soil, these are the ones. Okay, the seed, what's that? The seed is the Word of God. The seed is the gospel. The seed is biblical truth, Bible doctrine. In the good soil, born again believer. These are the ones who have heard the word. Okay, see, it tells you what the good soil is, the ones who have heard the word, and tells you what the seed is, the word. In an honest and good heart. What's an honest and good heart? That's where you believe it and you live it. Okay? And hold it fast. That's where you live in it. And bear fruit with perseverance. Perseverance is dependent upon God the Father, God the Holy Spirit. How does He give it? Through the Holy Spirit and the Word of God in your soul, people. So you got perseverance worketh. but it's perseverance working by the Holy Spirit, by the doctrine that you know in your soul. So it is not just tribulation, but it's how we handle the tribulation. Tribulation without the Holy Spirit, without biblical truth in the soul. See, what was Job's big fault? What was Job's fault? He did not correctly understand God. Remember? That was his problem. Job had God figured out. If I'm good, good things. If I'm bad, bad things. Bad things started happening by his thinking. All bad comes from God. He's been good. God's not playing by his own rules. So he starts attacking God and becomes depressed with himself. See? So this is so important that we understand. Tribulation without the Holy Spirit, without biblical truth, can lead to many horrible impacts in your life. All right, back to Romans 5:3. And not only this, exalting in the hope and glory of God, but we also exalt in our tribulation, knowing by the study of the Word that tribulation brings about perseverance. We have the present middle indicative of brings about. Kata ergazomai means to work out, to bring about, to accomplish, to achieve, to produce. Now, what's the present tense? This takes time. This takes time. Continual. I am so sorry. I am so sorry. But having a flat on the way to work that's fixed within an hour or two, if you call AAA or if you do it yourself, or you have some handsome guy stop and do it for you, whatever it may be, you get the tire fixed and you're on your way. That's just a very small time of tribulation. Not much time to develop perseverance. The present tense here says, this takes time. This takes time. Now, the middle voice is in the active, is active in meaning. This is what pressure will produce in the believer who endures tribulation in the Holy Spirit, knowing and trusting that doctrine. The indicative mood, this is something wonderful, the indicative mood. You can count on this. You can count on your tribulation, if you endure it in the Holy Spirit, and the truth will produce perseverance in you. Okay, now what does it bring about? It will bring about perseverance. The Greek word is a beautiful word in the Greek. Hupomone. H-U-P-O-M-O-N-E. Hupomone. This is a vital virtue through life. It's a vital virtue through life, through marriage, the spiritual warfare, and through tribulation. People, a team that wins a long, fought-out game is a team that had the hupomone. The marriage that endures, not just 1 year, 2 years, five, but endures year in and year out and year in and year out. I imagine that Jim and Anel Langston, they've been married now over 50 years, they've had a lot of hupomone. A lot of hupomone. See? It doesn't happen by accident. I don't know what the percentage now, but a few years ago, over 50% of the marriages in America ended in divorce. Not much hupomone. Not much hupomone. So, believers with hupomone will probably endure in the witness of Christ throughout their life. Now, the King James here translates this word patience. But people, patience is a different word in the Greek other than hupomone. Patience gives a rather passive idea. Just sit there and be patient. Just be patient. I'll get with you. I'll take care of you. Just be patient. This word, hupomone, carries with it an active forbearance. Therefore, perseverance. You're not just sitting there. You are persevering, moving on. And the perfect place to see this, let's just take the time to do this, is in 1 Corinthians 13. Now, I put this on the board because I want you to be able to see it. Okay, in verse 4, love is patient. In verse 7, love endures all things. The King James in verse 4, love suffers long, which is the better translation, by the way. In verse 7, endures all things. The NIV, love is patient. Love, and then in verse 7, love always perseveres. Okay, we have two different Greek words. One in verse 4, one in verse 7. Verse 4, it's macrothumia. And I transliterated it for you, macrothumia, translated correctly, long-suffering. Verse 7, upomone, perseverance. Macrothumia, long-suffering, is toward people. Upomone is toward circumstances. We're long-suffering with people, and we persevere through circumstances of tribulation. We have long-suffering toward people, and we persevere through all kinds of circumstances and tribulations. See? So, this is, gives you an idea of the two different words. Our word is hupomone. Perseverance is a better translation than patience. To persevere, to endure. Endure is fine also. But that's the correct understanding of this word. So, we're looking at how tribulation produces hupomone, perseverance. But the great question is, it also must be accompanied with truth and the power of the Holy Spirit for it to produce that. I've given you two verses by way of introduction. Now, next week we're going to take up a look at the doctrine, if you will, of perseverance. And it's very important. It's the secret of making it through your Christian life, making it through a marriage, making it through life. See? So, let's just, we'll stop here this morning. And we will begin here next Sunday morning. But remember, next Sunday morning now, we'll begin at 10:30. 15 minutes earlier, begin at 10:30. And have a little more time for a little more fellowship and things. And then we'll have our communion and then fellowship together. So let's close with a word of prayer. Doggone it, Heavenly Father, life is so tough. It really is pitiful. Tribulations from the world, from Satan, from others, from ourselves. Got to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Take care of all the things we have to do in our own lives. Work, pay bills. Quite frankly, Father, just persevering's tough. And how thankful we are that you've given to us your Spirit, who will give us peace and joy. You've given to us your Word, which gives us concentration, something to think about all the time. And Father, I pray you'll take the things we've seen just this morning. We'll think about, well, what is tribulation going to do with me? What's it going to produce in me? Because that's up to me. It's up to how I think and how I handle it. So, Father, we pray that you'll just stir these things in our souls and our thought process. That Heavenly Father, during the perseverance or during the tribulations of life, we may reflect the glory of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray these things in your Son's precious name and for his glory. Amen.